Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 200, part 1, Peter, Do You Love Me? Today is Friday, June 24th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I have a couple quick announcements about Pastor Paul's club. It's located in Disciples Ministries, Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, Pastor Paul's Club is more than just free groceries once a month. Once you register as a club member, you're able to get free groceries once a month, but you can also pick up free bread every day. You can also purchase foods from Pastor Paul at ridiculously low prices. For instance, Pastor Paul has a lot of perishables, a lot of produce by the case and large quantities. We also have frozen foods by the case and large quantities. And you can purchase those from Pastor Paul's at ridiculously low prices. In fact, Pastor Paul asks that you just bring dollar bills. Anything larger than a 10, he will send you to Vegas. There you go. So dollar bills, you can purchase foods from Pastor Paul every day. And I'm at the grocery counter, so I will be registering you. And what I need you to bring is your picture ID, a current piece of mail to verify your address, and your verification of your household members the first time. You'll fill out a form, and you'll be able to get groceries that day. So be sure to check that information out. I have it posted at Pastor Paul's website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. And there's a link in the show notes for that information. Now, about Pastor Paul's podcast, I hope you're listening to part one and part two, the conclusion. Now, they're published on Friday and Sunday, but you know when you subscribe, you'll be able to get the message all the time as soon as it's published, and you can listen anytime you want. So be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now, for the month of June, these are the following messages. God's will is your deliverance, a spiritual wind, God's Today, Peter, Do You Love Me? Four messages for the month of June, the beginning of summer. Also, I should mention, when you go to Pastor Paul's website at www.pastorpaul.org, up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find the links to Pastor Paul's podcast, to Pastor Paul's blog, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to see the show notes where the scriptures that are in Pastor Paul's messages are located. So scripture links at the blog. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, on Thursdays, I do a live Tweets Inside. When I'm recording Pastor Paul's message in the digital format and then producing this podcast, I am doing live tweets as I listen to Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check that out. Live Tweets Inside on Thursdays, generally on Thursdays. So if you have any questions, any comments, or you want to make a suggestion or give a testimony, here's the comment line, 1-877-489-0922. And the local number is 612-208-0916. All this information is located at Pastor Paul's blog. Listen, have a great month of June, and we love you listening. And be sure to register your household if you need food at Pastor Paul's Club. God bless you. Have a great month of June. We'll see you back here every week. And be sure to send this podcast to a friend. If you love them, you will send them the podcast. God bless you.
Today's tape will be entitled, Peter, Do You Love Me? John 21 and 16, he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This commission was given at a very suggestive time. Peter here and his companions had just finished dining with Jesus, and they were probably sighing with contentment, sort of rolling their tongues around in their mouths and rubbing their stomachs. You know, they were real content. And feeling very content and feeling sort of sleepy probably, and they smiled at one another. In the middle of this picture, we hear Jesus say, Feed my sheep. Now they're fat and sassy and they're sitting there and they're all done and they got grape juice and lamb's fat coming down off of their faces. And man, they're all content, see? And I think a lot of times when we're content, we get lazy. Say amen. Get lazy in our head, we get lazy in our body. And so he says like this, well, now you're content, why don't you feed my sheep? Can you do it in your contentment? Can you do it when you're content with just going from one meeting to another meeting to another meeting and always learning but never doing anything? When you're full, and so many times we'll go to meetings and we get full, will you do something after you have been filled, after you have received the spiritual food? Will you then go out and serve me? Will you, you know, do the commission, feed my sheep? When you're self-satisfied, and isn't it easy to get that way? We're satisfied. Well, I'm looking pretty good now. I'm looking pretty good. My hair looks pretty good. My body looks pretty good. The house is in shape. The kids, everything's going fine. Well, you know, you're self-satisfied. And we sort of smack our lips and we go on our way and, you know, it's too bad of what's happening over in Ethiopia and it's too bad of what's happening on the north side and it's too bad of what's happening in Fed. It's too bad, but after all, I'm content. With lamb's fat sort of dripping off of our lips and we are content. Now all of you here today, you've been in the real beautiful worship service. I heard it downstairs. You have been eating and drinking spiritual food, and through the songs and through the praises, you are now refreshed and you're able to hear this message. It's sort of a preparatory message, the lifting up and the singing and the refreshing. Well, maybe you didn't eat. Maybe your hands were hanging down. Maybe you just, oh, God, I give up. You had that kind of attitude. Well, don't worry about it. You already have given up. You don't have to think about it anymore. You think that way, you already have. And so anyway, you should be refreshed and able to hear. And so now you should be able to bear this command. Feed my sheep. And so many people now we find are always eating, 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 but never feeding, 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 feeding. But Jesus is commanding you, and you listening on the radio, this tape, feed my sheep. Now, I heard that some years back, 4.5 years ago, when I started this food ministry down here. And it took me 2.5 years of ear problems to before the Lord could get that message through to me, feed my sheep. But it definitely is with me right now. And some of you listening have a desire to become preachers. You call me on the phone, you said, you know, what do you have to do to become a preacher? Well, you don't answer that too quickly. After you've been a preacher for a while, it isn't just going to school, that's for sure. And some of you already are. Let me address you today. But those whom the Lord addressed, especially Simon, had been fishermen. Okay, now they're going to go another step. Just before they had dined, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of fishes, the Bible says. We are all fishers of men, the Bible says, commissioned of God to get people saved. But then again, many of you listening to my voice here and on the radio, on the tape, have developed from fishermen to shepherds. From fishermen to shepherds. Now that's a different bag, isn't it? The fisherman represents the evangelist who casts the nets into the waters and draws the fish in. But it is not to him that Jesus Christ is speaking, feed my sheep. That is reserved for those that have a greater maturity and a greater experience, developed in seeing and developed in hearing. What do you mean by that? I mean that once that you stop, well, you're still bringing in fish, and you're still fishers of men, but you develop into a preacher and God calls you to be a shepherd. Now, there's something that you got to think about. There's something that you got to count the cost about. And I think a lot of people looking at my ministry in particular will say, hey, I'd think twice before I would move into an area like you've moved into. And I'd think twice about being a preacher, and I think a long time about getting into feeding Jesus Christ's sheep. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the dedication it might take? Have you ever thought about the grace of God that always has to be there and always is there? Have you ever thought about counting the cost? So many people come in and they'll say, you know, Pastor, I would like to start a food ministry. Where do I begin? Well, you begin by praying about it and asking God, God, do you want me to be in the ministry of feeding sheep? Do you want me to be a pastor? Or should I just be a fisher of men? Where do you want me in where do you want my life? Where do I fit in? How many have said that? Never said that? You never asked God, where do I fit in? I ask God that every day. Where do I fit in? Sometimes I feel like a misfit. Sometimes when I go to these meetings and I get in and there's all the preachers there and there's all the different evangelists there and there's all these people there, I feel like sort of a misfit. Walk in and all I can talk about is feeding sheep. Well, what's new with you? Well, let's see, we had roast beef and potatoes and gravy and beans yesterday. That doesn't sound too spiritual, does it? Huh? Well, it's spiritual when you're down on your hands and knees and you're praying for that stuff to come in. It's spiritual when you see the people come in and there's a lot of drugs down here and alcohol and so on like that. And it's spiritual when you pray for people and you start to see change in their lives. Then it's spiritual, isn't it? But sometimes you're going to feel like sort of a misfit when you step in on these different audiences. I feel like a misfit sometimes when I go and I see empty praises and I see people just praising the Lord, waving back and forth. But I never see one of them come down here. Say amen, somebody. Have you ever felt like a misfit? You know who else felt like a misfit? Jesus Christ was a misfit. Did you know that? Ooh. Now listen, preachers, I didn't say to stop fishing. Many enter the ministry and stop fishing. They get into a church, they get into a high steeple, few people, sit down the rump, never do nothing church, and they just sit there. Say, okay, now I got it made, and all I have to do is just minister to these people. Those people will die there. You need new blood coming in. This church, right now, I believe, is on the verge of doubling. I didn't say with people, I'm talking about ministry. This church doesn't have walls. Get me straight on what I'm saying here. There is a radio ministry here. There is an outreach here. There is a provoking of other churches here. There is a provoking in the country going on off of this little ministry right here. There is a provoking. Does that encourage you? That this little ministry is provoking? A woman came in from Chicago, and she's in a mission. She came downstairs, and we had some 250 people down there at one group for lunch, and then it turned over again, and there was another 250, and it turned over again, and there was another 250 down there eating. She came in, she says, you know, I like what I see here. You serve the people. So she went back to Chicago, and I last heard that what they're doing down there when they feed the sheep is wait on them. See, it's more than what you see, isn't it? My God, if I went by sight, I'd run right on out of here. Say amen, somebody. Some already have. They see some article in the paper, or they hear some kind of a thing going on, or some kind of crime, or some kind of drugs, and down the road they go, tennis shoes smoking and making it on out of the north side. How many hearing this message? Are you excited? My God, get excited. But now, preacher, you have other duties to perform, physical feeding of the multitudes, and also spiritual feeding of the multitudes. Teaching discipline to the sheep. Teaching obedience to the sheep. Knowing the sheep. Knowing their needs. Now you can't teach something you have never experienced yourself. Don't fret and don't worry. But you say, I'll be misunderstood. You're always misunderstood. You realize how many times I've been misunderstood in the ministry I'm doing down here? Do you want to love Jesus Christ? You're going to be misunderstood in the house of your friends, the Word says. Of course, Jesus Christ's love itself was misunderstood, wasn't it? Hung on a cross, God. Do you think that you might be misunderstood when you start getting, fanatical for the Lord? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't get anxious. Boy, if I was a person that got anxious, I wouldn't be here. But I'm seeing great things happen. Like I told you right now, this ministry, as far as food ministry, is getting ready to do a flip-flop, and it is getting ready to double. Now, can you fathom what I'm talking about? Getting ready to double. Now, you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable, giving your life. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be taken advantage of. So what? So what, I ask myself. So what's the difference if you're taken advantage of? Guy told me the other day, he says, you know, Pastor Paul, people use you. Oh, he says, that's the name of the game. That's what my life is all about, to be used up. How many in here want to be used up? Do you want to be used down? Are you hearing this? I'm talking about walking the walk of Jesus Christ, being misunderstood, being hated in the house of your friends, going on, not paying attention to rumor and slander, going on, persevering, going on, and being used up. Do you want to be used up? Huh? Do you want to go out and get the lost? Do you want to go out and get those sheep? Do you want to bring them in? Do you want to take the cocklebirds out of their sides? Do you want to work with these people every day? Your ministry isn't just here in this assembly. Your ministry is down there when the people are down there and they're eating. Your ministry is with the kids that are out there in the streets. And I had a couple come in here the other day and says, well, would you marry us? And I said, do you live in this area? Yeah, we do, but we're going to move out. It's too rough down here. I said, well, then I will marry you. Say amen. See, somebody has to be dedicated enough and love it enough, and love Jesus Christ enough to obey His command, feed my sheep. Are you ready for that kind of work? Are you? We are headed for very, very dark days in this old world. Say amen, somebody. Jesus' command right now is, will you feed my sheep? Are you ready? You are being made ready right now. I'm being made ready right now. Through trials and tribulations and all that, I know I'm being made ready. Are you ready for that? Are you? Well, we'll find out. Are you? We're going to find out. I'm going to challenge people. I'm going to challenge them on the radio. I'm going to challenge them on TV. I'm going to challenge them through the papers. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus said, don't turn your back. How many are hearing this? Woo! Are you hearing it? Yes, you're going to have to give all the grace God gives you. Yes, you're going to have to give all the mercy that God gives you. Yes, you're going to have to give all the love. And you're going to have to expect to suffer the same as your Lord Jesus Christ did. Are you ready for it? Why, God, it's boring when you don't suffer a little bit. Huh? You know how boring it would be just to have this church open up twice a week? Huh? I know that would be boring. You know how boring it would be for me to go out to the suburbs again and sit out there and just sit out there and go out and evangelize? That would be so boring to me. Wouldn't that be boring to you? Just to go out and sit, not do anything? 20-minute sermon? Hey, lock the doors and windows. You might be here for 2 or 3 hours, my God. How many are hearing this? Wouldn't that be boring? Well, yeah, but then there wouldn't be no persecution. There wouldn't be some of my friends, you know. Oh, huh? Well, I'll tell you, I've been here long enough now where you'd be out of place. Totally out of place. Out of character. See, you might lose your reputation, but you gain a character. Say amen, somebody. I hope they put on my grave when I die, there was a character. I don't want him put on there, boy, did he ever have a great reputation. You know why? Jesus was a man of no reputation. Say amen, somebody. Well, you know, he was this and that and everything, but he was a character, that's for sure. Don't you think Christians should be characters? Haven't you ever known about your little kids and they're so zesty and full of zest and all that? And you say, man, that kid is a real character. Whew. Haven't you said that about your little one? Today he was pulling the vacuum cleaner all over to downstairs. You're only going to get filled with what you give. What are you giving out? You giving out the blues? Do you put it through a horn until it was born into a blue note? It'll blow right back in your head when you're in bed. What are you giving out? See, whatever you give out, if you give people Jesus, that's what you get back again. Oh, they sing this song, oh, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Don't they sing that song? Well, do you know how you get more of Jesus? By giving Jesus away. You want to give yourself away? Think about it. I should have a mirror here. No, I don't have one. I just like to take a mirror and put it out there and put it on the radio audience. You're going to give this away? Who'd want it? Freely, freely, the Bible says. I have given unto you, freely, freely give it away. And you know what? When you do that, it'll be criticized. How come you're giving all that stuff away? Well, it was given to me freely. So freely I give it away. Well, don't you, you know, take fingerprints and stuff to make sure that the right people get it? Well, I'd be the wrong person giving it if that was the case. Say amen, somebody. See, you have to feed as well as you have to fish. You have to handle the word as well as the net. You have to become versatile and you have to become instant in season. How many are hearing this message today? Now we leave the sea where we drifted to and fro, and we abide among our flocks. Oh, but man, that's so boring. You know what I missed? I missed having two churches. I had one here, and I had one in Wisconsin. And I call them easy churches. So I'd go out and minister and draw crowds, and I'd draw crowds in out there in Wisconsin, and I'd go out and evangelize. And oh, have you ever seen people that love to go fishing? They got these funny little hats and they got every little thing all around them, all the little lures and everything like that, huh? And they just love to fish. And they'll open up their tackle box and they tell you about, well, this one here catches this kind of fish and this one here. And I find that them dough balls is real good for this and that and so on like that. You know what I mean? They go on and on about this. I miss that. I really miss going out. I miss the praises of the people and, oh, that was such a lifting message. And I miss that. And I got into it down here on the north side and I got, well, I thought, oh, you know what? This is kind of boring. I'm stuck in one spot. So you have to develop into a person of feeding my sheep. Guy says, don't you ever get tired of this? He says, what do you do with all this food? Where do you store it? I says, in people. He says, don't you ever quit coming? I says, no, they won't stop eating. They just keep eating every time I look at them, munch, 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 munch. But I says, praise God, they're good little mobile carriers, and then they digest it, and I give them more. What a dumb question. Where do you store all this food? Sometimes governments store it in caves until it rots. Why not store it in people's tummies? That tickles me. Even right now, there's people with little storehouses that are eating some of my grub up that God had given me here. Freely, freely I have given to you. Freely give it away. My motto here is empty cupboards. It's kind of hard to do because God keeps filling them up. But it keeps me busy, and I've worked myself into being a real pastor, a real flock leader. Feed my sheep. Woo. Standing and feeding in the strength of the Lord. And yet, we still evangelize. When I'm downstairs, I go right back into evangelizing. When I get into a meeting in St. Paul, and I might be over there with a whole crowd of important people over there, and I just got done washing toilet bowls over here, and I change costumes and put a suit on and go over there, and I'm up with all these, upper crust or whatever. What do? I evangelize. What do? When I go to a union meeting, why, I evangelize. I have altar calls. Isn't that weird? And so I still am a pastor, but I still am an evangelist. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what am I? He said, well, you're a preacher, teacher, evangelist. What does that mean? Well, it means you're busy. That's what it means. But yet, I know I have to pay a special attention to the duties of a pastor. For he who once said, cast the net on the right side, now says to us, feed my sheep. You are now standing on terra firma, the ground. Is the land too dry and boring for you? Do you want to put on your little fishing cap? Do you want to get out in the boat, two or three gathered together in a boat, and pray? That's all right, but I've called you to a higher calling. I've called you to be the leader of a flock. You know how many people are in this flock? On the radio? And on the north side here? Well, they're not sitting in here this morning. Are they? They're out there, though, aren't they, honey? Thousands of them, aren't they? Why? Why are they out there? Well, because I'm going to have to put on my fisherman's cap in just a few more weeks here and do a little evangelizing and a little calling out and calling in. See, I had to get the bait just right. Sometimes you have to get some of the noisy folks out of the boat. They scare the fish away. Come on. Come on, this boat's pretty empty. Does that frighten you? No, it's all the more fish for me. That's all I know. Are you hearing this? Are you on the radio? Maybe you want to go on some kind of a retreat. Isn't that funny that Christians are always going to retreats? What are they retreating from? Huh? Why is it all their meetings have to be over up in Israel or Las Vegas or someplace like that? Oh, we're going to go down there and we're going to get see people saved. We had a concert here. And I kind of knew the gist of it before it happened, okay? And the girls were down there and prepared all the Sloppy Joe burger hamburgers down there. I mean, they had tons of this stuff down there. So they asked some of the people leaving, aren't you going to come down and have a sloppy? No, we're going to go out to so-and-so place and see people saved. They didn't go out and see nobody saved. They went out and filled their faces up. They had lamb's fat dripping off their faces. Say amen, somebody. Did it kind of get you down? I think Janine made... Oh, God. She must have made 100 gallons, no more than that, 150 gallons of lime juice. I'm not kidding you. Was it 150? No, I take that back. It had to be about 200. Now, she's really met the commission, feed my sheep. Nobody came to eat. You know why? Because it was all church folks here that came from the outside. They didn't come here. They didn't come to feed. No, you should have done? Should have went right down the street with a bullhorn. Big feed, down to ministry, free food. You think you would have had a lot of people eating? Hey, I know my people here on the north side. They never stop eating. Say amen, somebody. Why? Is this hungry? Are you hearing this? See, I'm talking to the disciples to whom the Lord has shown himself, who are rowing to shore, even now as I speak, to feed the sheep, evangelizing and pastoring. I think they're very different. You must be called to pastoring. Guy asked me downstairs, he said, we were down there and people yelling, hey, I've been waiting here 15 minutes. I said, well, in the finer cafes, I says, you might wait an hour and spend about, $100 because they want you to drink before you eat. And then they stand there and you just get done with your soup, I said. Are you done with your soup? And they take your soup and you're still trying to get a bite of it, you know what I mean? Are you done with your salad? And the way they go with your salad. And so God has given me a ministry with the people down here. See, having been poor in my life, I understand poverty. And having been rich in my life, I understand being rich. How many hearing this? I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. This is another state down here. This isn't even Minnesota. Did you know that this is not Minnesota down here? This is another state. This is another country down here. A total different area. A total different language, a total different lingo, a total different everything. I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. So I'm content when I'm in Minnesota, and I'm content when I'm down here. Well, that's the way it's treated. Like it isn't part of the state. Maybe we should get our own flag. You think we should get our own flag and hoist up the Jolly Roger? Huh? You think I'm kidding? I'm serious. Hey, I am dead serious. This is another country. People don't venture in down here. They think we're down here with blow darts and stuff. Come on. But anyway, getting back to Peter, this is sort of an ordination to his pastorate. You've walked on the water, Peter. Can you walk on dry land without sinking? Oh, that'd be easy. Oh, yeah? Maybe you'll sink in your spirit once in a while. See, he needed to be publicly recognized, for he had been publicly offended. Have you ever been publicly offended? Then God is getting ready to have you publicly recognized. Say amen, somebody. God will take care of it, and God will get all the glory out of it. He had to be taken at an open hearing. Have you ever been to an open hearing, pastor, preacher? An open hearing. Have you ever been put, not in the limelight, but in the spotlight? Great! Because you know who else is looking at you? Jesus is looking at you. They are drawing, people can draw the attention when you suffer. Whose attention do you think you get? Well, you get people's attention, but you get the Lord's attention. Whew. How many hearing this? That's an attention getter. Did you know that? See, he needed an open hearing. And his ordination commenced with an examination bearing on the work. Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now before you start, I want to ask you a question. Do you love me? Bible says he asked him that three times. Now I don't think that the Lord entrusts any of his flock to anyone without questioning them as to their inner condition. I think there's a preparatory work to working in an area. And so you listening and thinking of pastoring, count the cost, examine yourself. Have a soul search. Have a heart scan. Unless you are called, unless you are anointed of the Lord, you're going to have a weak flock with no direction, no discipline. Now I know this as pastoring. The proof in your ministry is even when people leave, they still remember your voice and what you said in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they find it out to be true. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing it? But anyway, you will observe the examination was directed, I believe, at the state of Peter's heart. And so it touched the most innermost spring of all of his ministry. For if love be absent, all is in vain. You have to love what you do to stay with what you do and what the Lord's called you to do. See, the heart of godliness is missing if love is lacking. Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, I'm going to give you a flock. I'm going to have you to pastor. Do you love me? Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Will you go tend a flock? Peter, I'm asking you a question. Lovest thou me? Look at me, Peter. Do you love me? Peter, I want your undivided attention. Do you love me? Will you stand through thick and thin? Do you love me more than this or that or anything? See, if we don't have love in Jesus Christ, we're going to be fruitless. There'll be no fruit in our ministries. How many are hearing it? Do you always see the fruit? No, sometimes there's a hidden fruit. It's coming out. It takes the time for it to get out there. Do you believe what you've told others? So many times we're so good at telling people. You ever get on the telephone and you're feeling really, really down, and then someone calls with a problem, and you minister to them, and you've actually ministered to yourself? Do you really believe what you're telling other people? Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder about all these hyper-faith people, if they really believe what they yell. Or are they yelling so loud because they're trying to convince themselves? Well, you know what the Word says. And here's a guy that's really suffering. Brother, where's your faith? Well, it needs building up right now. Not shouting down, not criticizing. Brother, you have a little mustard seed of faith right now. But you know, that little mustard seed of faith, and I can tell you from my own personal life, it can move a mountain. But you got to put it before that mountain. Let's just take that little bit of faith that you have right now, and two of us gather together in His name, and let's lay this little mustard seed right down before this mountain. Let it be removed, brother. Come on, let's pray and let's believe God right now. Let me encourage you that this little mustard seed will move that mountain. Now, I don't know when it's going to move it, but we're going to believe for it to move it. You know what happens most times? When you're not even involved in thinking about that mountain at all, you turn around and the thing is gone. See, it doesn't have your attention anymore. You put your eyes on Jesus Christ and you forgot about that mountain, and that it becomes a molehill. Doesn't it? Isn't that the way it always is? When I got something bothering me, I get busy. And while I'm busy and I'm busy pounding down walls and putting cookers in and everything, I turn around and the problem is gone. Which usually is people. Say amen. How many getting some of this message here today? I hope you get it. Ooh. Do you believe what you tell others? Sometimes we tell a person, oh, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. Come on, buckle down, wind sucky, buckle down, you know. We don't believe it ourselves. We're saying in our mind, this person is never going to make it. They're a klutz. Well, if you do believe what you tell others, you're a pastor. You know that to love Jesus Christ, you first must love His sheep that you can see. How can you say that you love me and you can't see me, says God? And these are here that you can see and you can't love them, well, you can't love me. See, this makes you a believer. Pastor, I'm talking to you today, you that write in, and all four of you that write in. Love is long-suffering. Love is patient and forgiving and tough, and always loves Jesus Christ first and in the middle and forever. See, because long-suffering love grows and develops more, it suffers. Doesn't your love grow for your children the more you suffer with them? You don't suffer with them, you aren't going to love them. I've seen mothers that don't pay any attention to their children at all. None. They don't suffer with them. Do you think they want to paddle them kids? No, they don't suffer with them. You want to suffer with them? The more you suffer with them, the more you're going to love them. Now, maybe you're listening to me out there and you got a mother or father that suffered with you for years. Well, then that just proves they love you. Well, then you've got something going for you that a whole lot of folks don't have going for them at all. Say amen. How many are hearing this? And that's the way it is with a pastor. The more he suffers with people and continues to suffer with people, the more he loves them. Because love invites trials. Love invites persecution. It just invites it in. Isn't that right? You love your kids and they misuse you, don't they? I misuse my parents. Love invites that kind of thing. It invites persecution and it invites wounds. What's that song? All you always hurt, the one you love, the one who loves you most of all, huh? Why is that? Because it invites it. They want to try your love. They want to test your love. Do you still love me? But it grows in this atmosphere, or it is not love. Agape love, divine love I'm talking about, doesn't say be careful or you'll be misunderstood. Aren't you as a parent misunderstood by your child? Aren't you? What's that for? Oh, I hate you. Aren't you misunderstood? When they say, why? And you say, because. And you say, because why? Because I said so. Are you misunderstood? Sure, love is always misunderstood. Always hurt, always wounded, always cursed, always hated. And finally you begin to understand the agape love of God, and you finally turn your cheek. When you get slapped on one side, you turn the other side. See, agape love, God love, needs exercise to grow, and it must suffer and share. Well, that sounds like a sadist, no? It says, that's what I am all about. I am a sounding board. And you start to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you've grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you love Christ so much, you having done all, stand where He put you, and nothing will defeat you. Because you're not depending on yourself anymore, you're depending on the grace of God, and things work out. This is the way that agape love proves itself. It is more, it says in the Bible, than an overcomer through Christ, and it is strong. See, love doesn't keep score. I had a letter from someone, and they had kept score on everything they'd done. I did this, and 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 I did this. Signed, Mr. Wonderful. And I thought, oh, man, I don't believe this. I thought, what if I was to put down everything I ever did? What a stinking bore I would be. Huh? No, the more you do, the more you want to do. See, it's not love. It holds a grudge. You ever seen the grudge coming? Here comes the grudge. See, you love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you will be tried and you will be tested. See, it grows in the garden in the midnight hour when there's nobody to pray with you. It grows in meeting needs. It grows when it's on a cross. I'm not talking about the flesh growing. No, that's nailed. I'm talking, unto thee I commit my spirit. And you give your spirit to Christ, to God. Right on that cross situation, you say, Lord, my flesh is suffering. Why hast thou forsaken me? Take me out of this fleshy situation and put me into the Spirit. Unto thee I give my spirit to you that you can use me. And so love then is a very chief endowment for a pastor. You must love Christ if you want to be a pastor. Stand your ground.
That was part one of Peter, Do You Love Me? Episode 200. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Elgato Mo, Elgato Mo, Elgato Mo, when the law.